we sent troops there.
Yo, to go over from Zion.
Or not troops.
Yes. And what year? Godin Yim in 1956 has edged out of power Bao Dai, and elections that were supposed to unite North and South never were honored. So from 56 to 62 or 63, he is struggling to maintain power in South Vietnam against the various factions, which include Viet Cong, trying to overthrow him. And we've become increasingly more supportive and giving more military aid and advisors from 62 onward. Why? Part of the worldwide monolithic idea that we've got to stop, that the Soviet threat wherever it grows in Southeast Asia is also where it's growing. And as Eisenhower would call it in the mid-50s, if what's so wrong with South Vietnam and North Vietnam combine and become a communist nation?
It's like we should stop Hitler at this.
So, yeah, stopping the spread early before it gets out of hand. Even if we're not really supporting democracies, it's better, whatever we are supporting, is better than the spread of communism. And what was the theory that Eisenhower argued, that the Vietnamese will eventually invade the Cambodians and the Laotians?
The domino theory.
Domino theory, yeah. So that's where we come up to in item 42. One of the problems we face, however, is Yim is so unpopular with his undemocratic and hardcore rule that there is the danger he'll be overthrown by forces within his country anyway. And realizing that, the military secretly requests of the U.S., we're thinking of overthrowing and killing him and putting another person in power, but we want you to know about it so that you're in approval of it. And there seems... There seems to be...
Who are we trying to touch?
This is what the South Vietnamese Army and their plans to launch a coup d'etat tell the CIA and the American government. And it appears that the CIA approves of the actions. It's hard to know whether Kennedy ever gave approval, because 3 weeks later he's killed and there's no records left of whether he knew or gave his advice on it. 44 has already occurred. We've talked about that. We just did 45. So the great wonder is, had JFK not been killed, would he have crept us into Vietnam in larger numbers like LBJ did, or was he, would he have seen not to do that? Most Kennedy historians like to hint that his writings, his memoirs, his diaries hint that he saw that as a hopeless quagmire to avoid. So the thinking is Kennedy would not have got us in like Johnson, but there sure isn't any evidence to that.
He thought it was a hopeless quagmire.
That's like, if Gore would have won, would we be in Iraq?
Yeah, that's kind of a good question.
Think he would have.
Not quite the same, because there are different parties. But a little bit close. But what does LBJ do?
Go into Vietnam.
He does. First, he gives more and more assistance and support, but not combat troops, making the claim we will never send American boys to do the job that Asian boys should be doing.
And he does.
Well, here's what happens. As the changes have not brought around the security and stability that was expected, and 63 turns into 64, as summer of 64 comes onward, Johnson reasons out we've got to find some reason and purpose behind, or that's an explanation for getting more involved. We've got, and so a lot of people make this parallel that just as Bush put out false, or is accused of putting out false accusations of an Al-Qaeda connection and weapons of mass destruction as a way of getting the American public willing to accept going into war there, that Johnson pulled a stunt to make it easier to expand our active combat role in South Vietnam, called the Tonkin Gulf incident and affair in item 47. Here I am again doing what I do, and that is there any possible election connections?
Yep.
When's the election coming up?
68.
Yeah, 2 months.
Oh,
right.
Yeah,
October of 64. So August is just 2 months before the election. And who is he running against?
Tricky Dick? No, is he running against Nixon?
With the football on the Statue of Liberty?
Oh,
the
Goldwater.
Oh, yeah,
and what's the Goldwater campaign being painted up to look like by... In addition to he's going to take away Social Security, he's going to bomb us into Vietnam and get the Russians involved and kill everybody. That's right. However, the one thing that he's got to worry about, remember this classic incident? How has the public perceived Democrats?
As sovereign colonies.
And the Republicans have championed themselves as being the ones who are tough and can provide security. So what you want is how to brand the Republican Goldwater as a crazy extremist. He said extremism in the pursuit of liberty is no vice. So how do you portray him as an extremist and still say, go with the moderate who is tough enough to stand up to communism but not blow up the whole world, vote for me? Is that why he launched the Tonkin Gulf incident? Let's see if he even launched it, to be fair.
Do you know what this is?
Here's what happened. It's in August 3rd and 4th of 1964. American PT boats, no, American destroyers, were sent into North Vietnamese waters. It's high-tech time. Into the Tonkin Gulf up here. Now, when you get within so many miles of the land of a certain nation, you've moved out of international waters into their jurisdiction. So it's questionable whether they were or were not in North Vietnamese waters.
Especially since different countries have different laws and don't regard their national treaties.
But they were provocatively close. And the first day, there's good hard proof that North Vietnamese torpedo boats or PT boats did attack or at least fire at a torpedo and miss at one of the destroyers, and they left the area. But then the next day, they're ordered back in. Now, if they're fired upon the first day, why are they ordered back in a second day?
They get fired on again?
The second day, they report again they have been attacked. But that's a real sketchy report that becomes questioned later on, and when Johnson was asked, is it true that we were attacked 2 days in a row? He jokingly, well after the war's going on, says, we don't know what happened the second day. We may have been attacked by whales. Folks.
Telling the American people that he's beautiful.
Well, that's after he's already in, so. You think there's, in private circles, does Bush say yellow cake? But anyway, he went to Congress. Johnson did, and said, we have been attacked by hostile forces, and I want to ask for Congress's approval to respond and protect American interests against any hostile attacks. As Commander-in-Chief, didn't he already have that authority?
Yeah, but it wouldn't look like he was
declaring.
There you go. There you go. There you go. There's the tricky part, is he actually responding to, or is he starting a war? And that's back in the day and age when we still thought, even though Korea didn't do it, that Congresses are supposed to declare war, if not presidents drag us into it. So maybe technically he could have responded to defend the country, but if it's going to turn into a long-running war, which it did, he was sharp enough to see that you need to have congressional approval to avoid the argument down the road that something illegal had happened. So the Tonkin Gulf affair leads to the Tonkin Gulf resolution, where Congress approves our involvement. Every senator voted for it except for two. One was
Rankin.
No, she's gone. She's still alive. She's still alive protesting. She's not Senate. Gruning and Morris. I can't remember the first. Wayne somebody is one of the first names. Gruning and Morris. An Alaskan senator, and I don't know where the other one's from, but they were the only two that voted against the Tonkin Gulf resolution. And their major complaints were the veracity of the second attack and the danger of excessive executive authority growth, which turned out to be exactly true in both cases of concern. So with the Tonkin Gulf affair, now Johnson has the authority to get more actively involved with combat troops rather than just a supportive advisory roles, and conveniently right before the election, which he wins big time. In the spring of 65, number 48, U.S. troops arrive at the coastal base of Da Nang, and shortly thereafter they are attacked by Viet Cong forces. And in response to that attack, Johnson launches what he calls the Operation Rolling Thunder bombing campaign. What is he going to bomb?
Everything.
Well, and the biggest problem with the Vietnam War is there were no urban cities to find things to bomb.
They bombed the Ho Chi Minh Trail, didn't they?
But that's what they bombed, yes. And that's this era. The trail that leads from North Vietnam through Laos into South Vietnam, this was the supply trail where Russian and Chinese military effects, as well as North Vietnamese people, would assist the Viet Cong in the south. So the bombing was to try to stop that trail.
So
So the North Vietnamese are in the South?
North Vietnamese would go into the South to help assist the Viet Cong against the South Vietnamese government.
So
in the
but
US.
They were attacked in...
Yeah, so here's a difference in this thing. The Korean War is North Korea invades South Korea. Clearly two distinctive different nations. The Vietnam War is a civil war going on in the South between South Vietnamese political and military forces and the Viet Cong, but we know this, that the Viet Cong is being fed directly by the North Vietnamese, Russians, and Chinese, just as the South is being fed and cared for by U.S. So technically it's South Vietnamese Cong versus South Vietnamese regular army people, but all kinds of North Vietnamese are joining and all kinds of Americans are joining in the conflict. And from 65 through 68, as we see in number 49, there is this steady growth of soldiers from 50,000 to 100,000, eventually 580,000, I believe, is the total amount.
So what time do you really need to get
there? I'm watching. I want to get up to I want to get up to a point where I can... Let's make it over to the next page, just a little bit. Because we're together here, and we may not get a chance to do it together again.
Remind me to bring you another song.
Okay. So, year by year, 65, 66, 67, our commitment grows, the numbers grow, but the war doesn't change. And the reason why is we're fighting the Vietnam conflict like it was Korea or even more like it was World War II, which means as you kill the enemy and take ground, you win. And as you eventually take all the ground and control everything, you win the war. Except that wasn't the way it was working here, because as you would take a village and assume that it's behind the lines and move on, the Viet Cong would come right back into the village. And you never really knew who you were fighting, because how did you tell whether or not the South Vietnamese villagers who claim to be on your side at night don't become the Viet Cong? So it was more of a political conflict than a straight-out military conflict, which we were not equipped or experienced to handle. Eventually, we reached some kind of a strategy, which was also a failure, called the Strategic Hamlet Program, and that is you secure a village, try to guarantee that you have all the Viet Cong out, execute those who you think you are, probably kill some innocent South Vietnamese while you do it. If you can't verify or guarantee... Pardon?
Or, in some cases, exiliate our village.
If you can't guarantee that you have all loyal South Vietnamese in your village, you completely move the village. Just build a new village somewhere else and move everybody out so that there is no Viet Cong left, which means massive uprooting and refugee migrations. So we are not winning this war. But as newspaper reporters like Halberstam, and that's where he got his start, was as a reporter in Vietnam covering this.
Well, how would moving the village help?
Yeah. Well, suppose you move it back into an area where the Viet Cong can't creep back in that next night in neighboring areas.
But if you're moving the Viet Cong numbers are in the village,
if it's in the DNA and you move the DNA.
Okay, they didn't think about that.
What can they do? At least one thing we can say. One thing that you can say about Vietnam is we did not take the opinion we're going to conquer the whole country and try to be the only ones to pacify it. We always argued it's the South Vietnamese government that's the true government, not us. If they can't stand, our purpose ends. We're trying to help them stand. We're not going to end up running the country ourselves. Imagine what that would entail. And that's the major difference between the two areas. But as again, they would, the military got into this habit of reporting how many thousands of Viet Cong were killed each week. Reporters would be curious to verify these facts because number killed sounds like wins, but if you just week after week after week report thousands killed, but can't show for it in terms of stopping the war and securing villages, you must be not be told the truth. That reporters are being suspicious that the military is lying to them. The 5 o'clock follies, as it came to be called, the press conferences. And so a lot of anti-war type reporting, so it's not anti-war, it's as much as it is anti-futility of how the war is not working.
Accurate.
Yes, and how they're being fed different stories that don't line up by the military. And that gives rise to this belief that a liberal press who did not support the war hurt us in Vietnam by not supporting the military actions. The winning of hearts and minds, as they said, was just not seeming to occur. Another problem that 50 shows us here is that there just really wasn't a strong will among the South Vietnamese army to win this conflict. There seemed to be instead a desire by the South Vietnamese government to make this thing last forever so that we would stay there, because once we leave, they know they'll fall. And that was the complaint of many returning soldiers, that American soldiers fighting in Vietnam seemed to care a whole lot more about the fight than the regular South Vietnamese army. '53 is true. First month of 1968 in January, Westmoreland is asked, where are we on this war? More and more troops, we don't seem to be winning. When are we going to turn the corner on this thing? He says, he promises everybody, you can see the light at the end of the tunnel, that the victory is coming. And then that same month, the famous Tet invasion occurs. Tet is the Vietnamese New Year, lasts from late January through early March. And as people were preparing to celebrate the new year and kind of like backing away from the war, the Viet Cong, not officially, but kind of an understood relaxation intentions. But while it seemed like it was a relaxation intentions to celebrate New Year's, what was really happening was the Viet Cong, with many North Vietnamese regulars, were smuggling weapons and bodies and people into all parts of Saigon, getting ready to launch this counteroffensive, which did occur between January 31st and March of 68. At one point, the U.S. Embassy almost had to fight for 6 straight hours to repel Viet Cong attacks. Militarily, the Tet Offensive turned out to be a gigantic loss for the Viet Cong. When it was finished, the South Vietnamese forces and American forces were decisively victorious on every front. But after having heard light at the end of the tunnel by Westmoreland, that isn't the picture that the press and the people seemed to have after it was over. Instead, the feeling was, how much, if they can launch a counteroffensive like this, even though it was put down, how much longer are we to be stuck? And you can target from about March of 1968 on that the attitude of Johnson is, this isn't winnable. He's not like Harry Reid going to say it out loud, but that's the feeling is, this isn't winnable. We've got to find a way to get out of this thing. And for the first time, Johnson makes an announcement that he will accept negotiations and stop the bombing campaign long enough for negotiations to take place. And, by the way, he adds, I will not accept nor will I run for a second term as your president. That was really surprising. That right in the middle of these announcements, he just announced that he's not going to seek re-election. It appeared that the overwhelming pressures of Vietnam, the urban riots, the civil rights movement, all of this had come to the point where Johnson just didn't have the stomach to stay as president. Here's a guy that won huge margins in 64 for re-election. And 4 years later, he's just so overwhelmed he doesn't even want to seek re-election.
Well, he was elected. He wasn't re-elected that first time.
That's true.
Didn't it vote in because of the war? Or?
I think they voted him in because he still represented Kennedy. And Goldwater looked so threatening towards Social Security and starting the Russians bombing us that that's why he was voted in.
Why don't we see people wave the bloody shirt anymore in politics?
They do.
No, I mean the Civil War shirt.
Oh, well.
In 55, is that January 31st? Is that the Tet invasion date?
Yes.
And then that March.
And the fighting lasts all the way to March.
That where the America was victorious?
By the end of middle of March 68, yes, the counteroffensive has failed. But the reporting of it sure has seemed to give it a different light. It's not like reporters were purposely lying. They're not saying that we've lost militarily, because by that period they're reporting victories. But it's just that from January through March, the fact that it's even going on.
And is that 26 cities that the U.S.
were under siege by the Viet Cong.
And keeps.
They get them all back.
They keep.
26 cities were under attack by the counteroffensive, but they won in every one of them. But for the American public, it's too late. this is the tipping point, if you want to use that phrase, as to where America no longer, the majority of Americans want out rather than want victory. And Johnson sees it.
But the 5 o'clock follies aren't going on then because they can tell about victories, right?
I think at this point in time, nobody believes anything. The press doesn't believe what they're told by the military, and the people are not sure they believe what the press is reporting. That probably is a good pause place, and we can talk about war protests from 58 onward. So I will check and see what I can do, but I've got a feeling after school is better than evening. At least, not the very first night she's back.
Are you going to take that and
get the song on the disc?
I can't do anything on Tuesday.
Still going?
If he was ever going.
It was.
Okay. What's it?